This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming off of that win last night, we didn't have the opportunity. Like, as soon as the game ended, we played the 2 minutes that Tibbs reacted after the game, and nothing was really about the conversation. But apparently, Tibbs denied ever having the conversation in the post game last night. And then, obviously, today the reports came out that they had a talk before the game about the minutes and what was said and what came out. And it was a productive conversation. And look, you know, coming off that win, I focused mainly on that because I got an opportunity to react to it. But the story just overall of Mikal Bridges and what this team needs, like I and whether or not he was the perfect messenger or how we feel about it. Like, I know I saw Frank Isola getting all over him. Like, to me, I understand what he's saying, and I think we all agree. Like, that's the thing. Like, we saw this team last year fade down the stretch. We know what the issues are with Tibbs and the minutes and what the NBA does. Like, there's a reason for load management. We might not like it. We might complain about it. It might be a problem inside the league. It might be something the NBA player, the NBA, the league and the commissioner are trying to fix. But ultimately, there's a reason for it. This is a long season. These guys play a ton of minutes, a ton of basketball. It takes a toll on them. We're seeing injuries, and this Knicks team is faded. Let's be honest. From when it started, the great year that, you know, they faded down the stretch and couldn't, you know, beat the Hawks in the playoffs. Last year, just completely decimated by injury, were exhausted by the end. And the last thing you want to see is that now. And then we talk about the blessing in disguise that could be the Brunson injury. Not only is it that you could see guys step up like Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns and some of the bench, and but maybe you get a, even though it's a sprained ankle, maybe just the idea that you've given him a break for a month. You've given him a break for at least 3 weeks off his feet, where he should be refreshed. He should be raring to go as soon as he gets back and into the playoffs. But I didn't think it was much. I didn't think it was that big of a story. I respect Mikal Bridges for coming out and having the nerve to say, hey, look, play some bench guys. Like, I can't play every minute of the game. And this would be a guy, and the one thing, and I heard Evan say this, and he's 100% right. I know right now he's been underachieving as a New York Knick, but if anyone's going to talk about minutes, this guy has not missed a single game in his NBA career. Not one. He is the Iron Man of the NBA. He plays more minutes and more games than anyone in the NBA. So if someone has the ability to speak on how you feel by the end of the year, what you're expecting from your body at the end of the year, how you need the bench, like, this guy has a legitimate perspective on it, and I respect him for coming out and saying what we all think. Like, let's be fair, we all think it. Even the people who think the minutes police are a bit strong still agree that the bench needs to be instituted more and that Tibbs has to open up his rotation, especially on games that they have leads or games that you expect them to be able to win. You can't ride these guys the way he rides them all year long. This has been his MO dating back to Chicago and Rose. So I never thought it was that big of a deal. I never thought the Knicks thought it was that big of a deal. I never thought Mikal Bridges thought it was that big of a deal. Because if he did, I don't think he would have said it publicly. I don't think he was expecting the reaction he got, because I doubt he admits it publicly if he did. But ultimately, this Knicks team, after that win, and still going to be missing out on Bridges, they've got, you know, a stretch here, and they got the Warriors back on Saturday night, 8:30 on ABC in Golden State. Like, that's a game. How about a little bit of payback? As, you know, Curry hits his 4,003, we watched him celebrate at the Garden. Obviously, the storyline of, you know, Karl Anthony Towns at the funeral and why he missed that last game, and, you know, Draymond Green and getting on him and all the nonsense he said. And then in the post game, or the pregame of the next game they played, when he was confronted with the idea that Karl Anthony Towns was at a funeral, he gave one of the more weird, well, you know, I'm sorry about that, but hey, death is something we all have to agree with. We all have to deal with. My podcast will go on. Like, it was one of the weirder. It was one of the weirdest statements I've ever heard. You know, have you heard why Karl Anthony Towns actually missed the game? No, I didn't. Why? What? Oh, well, you know, he had a funeral. Oh, well, I'm very sorry for him and his and whatever's going on with his family. My thoughts go out there. But hey, you know, death is part of life, and my podcast will continue. I was like, what? It was so bizarre. It was so weird. So it's time for a little payback as the Knicks are riding a two-game winning streak off of the buzzer beater from Mikal Bridges the other night. Finishing up, I think they're finishing up. I think they head home from Miami on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. Let's double check that. Yes, this is the end of the West Coast. They go back out to San Antonio, but this is the end of the West Coast trip on Saturday night. Then they head home to play Miami Monday night on ESPN. So as they finish up this West Coast trip, it started pretty freaking awful as they lost to Golden State at home before heading out. They lost to the Lakers. They obviously lose Brunson in the process. They go out, they lose to the Clippers. They rally back, blow out the Kings, take down Portland last night in overtime, and now they'll head to Golden State for the final run of this five-game West Coast trip. But this is a big game. It's a big game to stick it to Golden State, get a little revenge. I'd like to see Karl Anthony Towns have a little bit of an attitude. Now, I don't know how much he takes Draymond Green seriously. I don't know how he feels about someone questioning his time away. I don't know how he feels about being called out that he was afraid of players. But I'd like to see a guy who we're talking about being soft, who we're not sure whether or not he's going to show up in the big game. Everything that comes with Karl Anthony Towns, as well as the great ability, the ability to score, starter on the Eastern Conference All-Star team. Like, it all comes together, but right now, as they are without Jalen Brunson, you need these guys to step up. And the other night in Portland was Mikal Bridges' night. Karl Anthony Towns going against this Golden State Warriors team, where everything that's going on, whether it's, you know, how the success they've had at the Garden and the way they handled that game the other night in Madison Square Garden, Draymond Green's comments, Steph Curry hitting 4,000 threes last night and dancing all over the place like he typically does and like he does every time he plays the Knicks, and we all have to hear about how they were one draft picked away from getting him. Like, this is a big game. And I want to see if Karl Anthony Towns can show up for it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jose in the Bronx. What's up, Jose?
Hey, T-Mac. How are you, man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
T-Mac. My bad. Listen, I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, listen, you know what I wanted to talk to you? I think I might have called you a couple weeks ago, and I said, why are we still giving a Mikal Bridges a pass? He's over there talking stuff, right? I envisioned when he came to this team that we got at least 22 points a night.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough because, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is an offensive player. You know, I mean, if you look at his numbers, his shooting percentage is pretty much where it was last year. Like, he's just not the go-to offensive player like he was
right
with Brooklyn.
I get that part. But and then like he stepped up the other night and he won the game for us. But I need more consistency. I need. Why not 22 a night? He should be able
without Brunson. Without Brunson, I can give you the 22 a night, sure. But when you got Jalen Brunson, you got Carl Anthony Towns, they're two starters in the All-Star game, and their games are offensive. Neither of them play defense a lick. The main reason he was brought over here was, yes, to be that third scorer, but also between him and OG Anunoby, you've got two of the premier perimeter defenders in the sport. That's been that's where he's been more disappointing. He has not been nearly as good defensively as he's been in Brooklyn and Phoenix. Like, that's the issue. And fighting through screens and showing toughness. And the offensive part of his game that I've been killing has been more of his aggression and getting to the basket. The guy never gets to the free throw line. Now, in the last game, he took six foul shots. I mean, he was averaging one foul shot a game. One a game for up until the last couple games without Jalen Brunson. He was averaging one foul shot a game. That's hard to do.
So, I think I could go out there and get fouled.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, go to the basket a little bit. He does not want to go to the basket. He does not want to be physical. He does not want to fight through screens. And he's not been nearly as good a defender as he was last year. But offensively, I don't know. I'm not saying he's been good, because he hasn't been. And his shot hasn't been there really all year from behind the arc. His mid-range game has been pretty good. And if you actually look at his overall field goal percentage, it's pretty much the same, if not slightly better, than it was last year. But to just say, hey, when he came over, I know it's for five draft picks, but he's the third option on the team. There were going to be nights where he would go off. I anticipated that. But this is Jalen Brunson's team. Secondly, it's Carl Anthony Towns' team. And then it's Jalen Brunson's team offensively. I mean, then it's Mikal Bridges' team offensively. He's the third guy. To expect him to average 22 points when he's the third option offensively, I think that's probably a bit unfair. And you'd like to have him shoot the three a little bit better than he shot this year. But my main problem with his offensive game has been his aggressiveness. He's shown no fight. He's shown no willingness to mix it up. He never tries to go to the basket. Like, it's all these fadeaway, you know, mid-range jump shots and open threes. And if he were hitting more open threes, I suppose I'd be less upset about his unwillingness to go to the basket. But when I watch him, I don't see, and I talked about this too, the team is always going to be compared to last year's team. Not only because last year's team was successful and we fell in love with it, but it got blown up without ever seeing it healthy, right? We'll never know. We really didn't get a good chance to see that team that was in January, where it was the best team in the NBA for a full month, and it had Randle and DiVincenzo and OG Anunoby. Like, that team that was so good never finished it. And so it wasn't only that they were successful and we fell in love with them. It was that they didn't get a chance. And they blew it up for Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. And we were going to always kind of, what would have been better? Like, I still hear the midday show talking about it. I'm just saying, it's a conversation. Like, was this team better? Or which team was more suited to make it a run through the playoffs? Was last year's team better? Was this year's team better? Oh, last year's team was so much tougher. And like that's the conversation that I knew we were always not only going to compare them against the Celtics and the Cavaliers, we were going to compare them against last year's team. And watching Mikal Bridges play, he's not tough enough to play on last year's team. Like, last year's team was built on grit, guile, and toughness. And Brunson emerging to becoming a superstar. But it was built on OG Anunoby's defense. It was built on, you know, DiVincenzo's fearlessness, taking threes, Brunson becoming a superstar. You know, that's what that team was built on. And now this team's slightly different, but watching Mikal Bridges, one, he's not hitting enough threes. Two, he's just not physical enough for me. And I know it's not the 90s NBA. I'm not expecting them to throw guys into the, not expecting them to dive through the, you know, the table or anything like that, or, you know, be Dennis Rodman out there. But I still expect them to get some foul shots. Averaging one foul shot per game is unacceptable. You're not trying to get to the basket enough. And he certainly wasn't physical enough defensively, which has been the major issue. But again, I'm hoping last night can be the turning point where we say this is where Bridges found himself, and he played the rest of the season like his hair was on fire. We're hoping that's the case.